Hello and welcome to the Backmarker Podcast. Here are your two favourite backmarkers. My name is Raj.
And my name is Braden.
And here we go for this week, Braden.
Yeah. Episode 7?
7.
7, that is it. We will be previewing Austria, the Hungaro... No, not Hungaro Ring. The Red Bull Ring. I haven't messed that up. I got two tracks. The Red Bull Ring is what it's called, is
yes.
the track.
Yes, it is.
That is where the Grand Prix is on this weekend. It is, as of speaking, about 4 days away, 5 days away from race.
Yep.
Very exciting. Do you want to get straight into the race review and then we'll go through some news? Are you going to quiz me today?
I am going to quiz you today. It's an Austrian quiz. So.
This is not so good for me, but we'll see how we go.
Have you watched The Sound of Music recently?
Oh, God. Wait, a quiz about Austria in general?
It's about The Sound of Music in general. It's all Sound of Music.
All right. Okay. I'll try and watch it while we talk about the race or something.
All right. I've seen you dress as Julie Andrews before, so I know you know this.
All right, well, let's get straight into it.
Let's do it.
So, Raj, the Austrian Grand Prix.
Yes.
First impressions, on the list of tracks that we have each year, which is roughly 20 races a year, where does this kind of rank? Is this one of your favourites? Not so much you care about? Where does it sit?
To be honest, I somewhere in the middle.
Yeah,
it's like perfectly average to me.
The way you answered that was like enough. You were just, it's I don't know, in the middle.
Yeah,
that's fine. Much. I guess it should be good. It could be good.
Neither here nor there.
Yeah, just, I mean it's got its moments. I kind of like after the straight, you've got a little bit of a build up a hill. Mm. Not like it's not like a Rouge or anything, but
I do love the undulation.
Very cool.
It is an old school track, so old school tracks are nice. It is. It used to be. Different, so it was renovated a lot when Red Bull bought the place.
Is that to suit them, do you reckon? Like when they became the majority sponsor, would have thought that they're like, yeah, we own this track now and it's only going to be aero related. Like you now have to have the best aero kit to race here.
That
would have been smart.
Yeah, you never know.
Guarantee you some points maybe, I don't know.
Because the FIA would have probably said, okay, we'd like you to upgrade it in this way and this way and this way. They would have given them a whole suite of recommendations to get to the grade one circuit we were talking about last week. And they would have tweaked that to their advantage. Of course they would have. If Red Bull's paying for the track, they're going to help themselves a little bit.
To the best
surely.
Of their ability, surely.
Exactly.
Well, look. As you said, it is an old school track. It was first held a Grand Prix in Austria in 1963. So definitely one of the oldest.
Yep.
And of course, had a lot of different changes to the way the track has been structured. But the way it's been today, what we're going to see over the weekend, is pretty much where it's been for at least the last 5 to 10 years for the most part. Like no major changes since. I think I was reading something like in the 80s, it was a pretty major change. And then since then, it's been a lot more like periodic little things.
I think the Austrian Grand Prix started at a different place.
Oh, okay. Oh, so the 63, yes, of course, that's a different track.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but they've been at the Red Bull Ring for how long, maybe?
They started here relatively recently. The modern era, I'm pretty sure it came back 2010.
2010, okay. I've read my facts from the wrong place.
No, here we go. In July 2013, it was approved. So the first day actually was 2014,
right?
So really recently. So that's what I mean. I haven't really watched that many races
This is what I read. Basically, it used to hold Formula One between 70 and 87.
Yes.
Before being the Red Bull Ring, that was years and years
correct.
Ago.
Correct. The A1 Ring it used to be called.
And then from then there was a few changes. There was a period of time in between 70 and 87 where there was a big change halfway through apparently.
Yep.
And then there wasn't any real changes until Red Bull got in there. That's what I was trying to say.
Okay. That's correct. Yeah.
Name changes are weird on Wikipedia. Yeah. Got to be confusing. Okay, cool. So, compared to last year, I mean, what are we expecting?
More of the same.
How are the cars going to affect this kind of track, man?
What are we expecting? In terms of the cars, what cars will suit, what cars will not? All right, the Williams is probably going to have a tough weekend.
Right.
Top speed is not, rewarded around here. It is a very short track. It is very bendy, lots of twists, and lots of undulation. So guys like Red Bull, guys like even McLaren, because their chassis is so good. And
if that new
Honda engine this weekend is, pretty good, we could see Alonso fighting right up there.
That would be
awesome. I do predict Alonso top 10 points again for sure this weekend. So put that prediction down somewhere.
I would probably agree with you. That's a very likely opportunity if they can finish. I don't see him finishing but not getting points. Like, you know what I mean?
I, I don't know.
If he's not going
to
score, it's because he's
pulled
over.
I have some faith in Hasegawa-san. So, yeah, the guy
You're one of the few at the moment.
I'm one of the only, if the only one. Mm. Like, and I don't have faith. I just want them to succeed. Honda should be succeeding.
Sure.
And I wish them the best, really.
I know what you mean about the straights. There's really only one straight, which is the second DRS zone coming into the first turn.
Mm-hmm.
That's straight. Other than that, even the second DRS zone in Sector 2 is curvy the whole way.
It's curvy. Cool. It's either curvy, downhill, uphill, or kinky.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, it's a cool little track. I do like
it. The bird's eye drawing looks kind of boring, and then you see it, and you're like, oh, there's actually a lot of variation in just how up and down you're going. You're constantly on a hill.
Yes. So, I mean, it's built on the side of the Alps, right? Mm. So, it is very Sound of Music. It is a very, very tough track. Yeah, I think we're going to see some fun.
Yeah, sure. Okay, so a little bit more information about the track. It's 71 laps. It's a circuit length of only 4.3 kilometers, so that's pretty short for a Formula One track.
Yeah, very short.
And the lap record is 2003 Schumacher with a 1:08. So really short. Just over a minute.
Yeah.
That's crazy short.
If we break the minute marker this year, that would be mind-bending.
That would take only a little bit over an hour to finish a race with no safety cars and no interruptions. That's crazy. I don't think we're going to... That seems impossible to see a lap done anywhere that short.
Yeah, sub 1 minute. That just seems
Is that
wrong.
The shortest in the circuit for the whole year? For the whole year?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
At least on timing.
In terms of time, I think Monaco is shorter in terms of length.
Right, okay.
But I don't know if that's true. Don't take me at my word, but it does sound right.
Okay. Last year was a pretty interesting podium. If we're basing it off last year, we might be seeing another one this year. Last year, Hamilton was in the top spot, as Mercedes were pretty much all year, but Verstappen in second and Raikkonen in third. So three different teams, which we saw last week in Baku, or two weeks ago in Baku now. I think we could see that again. I hope we see that again.
I hope we do. Mm. Again, everyone or our constant listeners would know or should know that I love the tricolore podium.
Mm.
Red,
I like that more
blue,
than almost any individual
silver.
Winner. Like, I love seeing Ricardo up there, but if he's not up there, I'm just like, cool, I just want three different people up there. I just don't want this to be any kind of domination. I want this to be an interesting race from beginning to end.
Yep, let's hope.
We don't have weather predictions yet. We are recording a little bit out, but it does look like it could be a little bit overcast, but mostly fine. So doesn't look like a wet race, but I've seen in the past, not last year, I don't think, but a couple of years, you know, there's been some wet races in Austria.
Yeah, it is the Alps.
Yeah.
There's a lot of thermal activity in the area, just as a matter of fact, right? So we could be looking at some pretty unpredictable weather, just like Belgium's, a Spa circuit.
Yeah.
You can literally have one part of the circuit is raining, the other end of the circuit is bone dry, and it's very, very difficult for the drivers. This circuit's a lot shorter, though, so I think it's either going to be on or off.
Yeah, I mean, it's meant to be raining on the Monday, Tuesday following the Grand Prix weekend, so maybe if the weather goes a certain way, it could bring that forward over the weekend of the race. That would be exciting.
Yeah.
It's always nice to hope for rain in a race you're not going to.
Yeah, like, no, it is, isn't it?
You're like, oh, I'm watching this on TV. Yeah, I hope it buckets down. I hope it's really wet.
Albert Park, bone dry.
Yeah.
Bone dry and sunny.
Mm-hmm. 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 Beautiful weather for when we have to sit there drinking beers, but terrible weather for anyone else out there. We're really sorry for our international listeners, but we hope you get wet for our sake at home.
Oh, they're hoping we get wet. Again, this isn't a single, like, directional relationship here.
No, it's a give and take.
It is.
Really quickly, predictions.
Right. So, well, you already know one, Alonso in the points.
Yeah, so you're saying that, okay, we'll both make a prediction on Alonso, what will happen to him.
Let's make one bold bullshit prediction. So for this race, my bold bullshit prediction is Alonso top five.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Top five. For your, like, crazy if it happens.
That's my, crazy, like, I've been smoking a whole bunch of crack prediction.
Okay, my crazy prediction in that case. Let me come back to that one. Let's do the podium. I'm going to come back to it. I have to think about it.
First of all,
let's quickly do pole position. Who's going to get pole this weekend?
That is a really tough one at this place. But I'm going to say Vettel has a pretty good chance. We've said that a lot recently, but I think...
And he's probably fired up over the last week of just hearing all this crap about his little incident in Baku.
Yeah,
and he wants to go out there and just shut everyone up.
Probably, yes.
So he could be, flying. I'm going to say Bottas is actually going to get a...
Oh, again? All right, yeah, okay.
It's a little bit bold. It's not as bold as your Alonso top five prediction, but I think Bottas is due for one.
Okay.
And I think that maybe what I just said about Vettel wanting to come out swinging, I think Hamilton's going to do the same. Maybe they're distracted.
Verstappen is kind of the surprise case for qualifying.
Right.
Especially just the nature of this circle. It's not a circle. The nature of this circuit really does lend itself to the Red Bull. If they can get their shit together and Renault can kind of get their crap together too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see Paul.
I mean, he was on the podium last year, so it wouldn't be totally surprising.
No.
Cool. What about your 1-2-3 then?
So 1-2-3, I reckon. I want to go Vettel number one.
Yep.
I want to see Hamilton number two. I want to see those guys battle on track a lot.
For the whole race.
Yeah. Basically, wheel to wheel, side by side, all the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
And third, Verstappen.
Okay. You're pretty confident with Verstappen this weekend. I like that. I'm going to say Vettel as well, followed by Bottas, followed by Hamilton. I think Hamilton's going to have... he's due for another shocking weekend. He's very on and off.
Okay.
Although he won it there last year. I don't know. I feel like he's distracted.
You don't feel like he's going to be fired up this weekend?
Maybe. I mean, it's going to go really badly for me and he's just going to prove me entirely wrong. Or he's just going to struggle enough that he can't capitalize on maybe, you know, being on the front row, fall back, something's going to go wrong for him. We've seen it a few times this year and he picked it up since Canada. And Baku, he was well on his way until he got the headrest thing. I don't know. Hopefully he, you know, doesn't get the victory just for my predictions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And safety cars.
Safety cars. See, Austria, I'm going to go one.
Yeah, I'm also going to go one. I think if it rains, we're going to get three, but I think it's still going to be clear. I think we're going to get just the one.
Yeah. Or none. Honestly, one
could
or none.
Yeah.
One or none.
And it's kind of because of these old school tracks, unlike what we've seen in Baku and we've seen it in Monaco, like when a car goes off, it has a lot of runoff.
Oh,
so there's a good chance that they can fix that up very easily with a virtual safety car or a couple of wave yellows. It's a much more forgiving track for the marshals, pretty much.
It is. But again, when it was the 8-1 ring or the Elster Eicher ring back in the day, if you go back even further, they used to have catch fencing in Formula One where they literally just get some chicken wire literally and put it across where the gravel traps are now.
Right.
And they would the fence would catch the drivers. It's catch fencing. So then they came up with more different technologies, Armco barriers, gravel traps, this, that, and the other, and now they're mandated by law. So they have to have, you know, this much gravel trap at the end of any designated corner. A lot of fans really don't like that, and I think it does. The gravel... especially, I think, but tarmac runoff, for example,
is a little bit boring. Because you can recover quite easily. I don't mind gravel because, you know, it punishes the drivers if they go off. You can't be complacent because you can really easily just beat your car out there, which is as bad as hitting a wall. So I think the punishment is there.
Tarmac,
pretty boring because you just go off, you maybe do a little bit of damage to your tires if you need to brake heavily, and then you're back in the race. You probably didn't even lose a position. So.
Probably not. And that's the thing. I think the tarmac runoff came about for safety reasons, right? Especially because they found out gravel, often if a car goes in sideways into gravel, the wheels will dig and it can flip.
Sure.
But the crash structures of the cars these days are so good that I think, they can get away with it going through gravel. And we should be penalizing these guys for making mistakes, right?
Exactly.
They're the best drivers in the world.
Tires are unfortunately pretty damn durable, so they don't take a huge amount of damage if you run off into a tarmac area.
No, you just get them dirty and cool them down. That's where the main penalty would come.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's enough. If you're running off the track, you've done something wrong to deserve a potentially race-ending, or maybe not race-ending, but race-damaging sort of punishment on that one. Would you say maybe that some of these newer tracks, this is just the thought I'm having, that if it's a newer track that you're manufacturing, you don't want to put in a bunch of grass and gravel and things because you want this tarmac so you can use it as a multi-purpose facility. You know, you're given a big piece of land. You're like, cool, we can race Formula One here, but that's only once a year. We have a bunch of tarmac. We can very quickly and easily turn this track into, I don't know, a MotoGP track by moving some of this and using some of that runoff that Formula One uses as runoff. And now this is part of our track for, you know, touring cars. I mean, I've seen tracks that get modifications throughout the year depending on who's racing or what they're racing.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that one of the reasons or things they're thinking about?
I don't think so, because most Grand Prix circuits have multiple configurations, right? Mm. So Barcelona has like a Barcelona short, Suzuka has an east and a west.
Mm.
So you can generally break up circuits into different configurations.
You don't need to
anyway.
Worry about that extra tarmac.
No.
Okay.
So that extra tarmac is pretty much like there for one thing. It's there for runoff. But yeah, like again, you can literally, if you would have run into that runoff, that tarmac runoff again and again and again, and actually build a line of rubber in there, it would be faster than the track. So that's, I don't like it. I'm with the really weird fans on this one. I kind of, I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll see.
I don't think you need to. Yeah, I don't know. There's not really a solution. It's not like you can just cover the tarmac in gravel or grass.
No,
it's kind of stuck the way it is structurally, unless you did some major work. So, anyway, we've got our predictions. I haven't done my crazy one. My crazy prediction: 2 Red Bulls on the podium.
Ooh. I like it.
I think that's actually less likely than prediction. A top 5 for Alonso.
Yeah, maybe.
But I think if Ricciardo's up there, I think Verstappen's up there in my mind right now. They're both just, you know, Verstappen without his issues is up there with Ricciardo, probably even maybe a touch higher.
Yeah, so his pace has been definitely a little bit better.
So I think if we see one up there, it means, again, hopefully something crazy's happened like Baku. I don't know if it's going to be a 1-2, but I think they'll both be on the podium. It's maybe. I don't know.
All right. Cool. That's
we'll see how we go.
Bullshit predictions for the week. Woo.
I'm not confident with any of mine, but all right, we'll see in a week from now. Let's get straight into some news.
Let's do it.
This one isn't so much news, but I'm going to call it news anyway. Did you see the video of Raikkonen's birthday present to Vettel? Because, of course, Vettel just turned 30 the other day. Did you see this video?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it's pretty funny. It's clearly a bit of advertising. I think Ferrari sponsored by UPS or has a relationship with UPS. Essentially, Vettel's on the phone. This is the skit. He's on the phone talking to someone. Oh, yeah, thank you so much for calling. Oh, no, I haven't received a present yet from Kimi hasn't sent me anything. You've got Kimi on the other side of the world. He goes, oh, shit, it's Seb's birthday. Goes out to the shed, cuts up something, you know, real quickly. It looks like he's making something. He puts it in a box. Gets the UPS guy to come in, puts it on the truck, and then cuts back to Vettel, and he's going, oh, wait, the UPS truck's just here. I'll call you back. Opens up the package. It's an ice sculpture of Kimi Raikkonen. Says, happy birthday from the Iceman. I thought it was a good little bit of funny little banter. But hands down, it is so much better than the Wei Chai commercial that Raikkonen did last year. We will be sharing that one in the show notes because his acting has improved dramatically since then.
God, I loved that ad. It was impeccable.
I'm going to actually cut in Wei the audio Chai. Of that in a minute in post because...
Oh, please do.
Yeah, I will. Wei Chai Power, we thank your fans.
Thanks, Wei Chai Power, for great support. We are one team with one goal. We want to win. My dear Chinese fans, I'm coming to China. We are racing around the world with the support of Wei Chai Power. Wei Chai Power, green power, the tribe of dreams.
Powered by Wei Chai Power.
Wei Chai Power.
Oh, it's a disaster. So anyway, it's not really news, but I'm going to share that because I thought it was really funny. The news is actually that Vettel has turned 30. But that video, yeah, good job from Ferrari and UPS for getting Kimi to actually kind of act. It was convincing enough that I thought he was a human being for once. There we go.
Well, that's convincing.
Big improvement. Do you have a story then?
Yeah. Okay, so Sebastian Vettel has apologized for the incident in Baku.
A formal apology.
Let me read it. It was published on his website.
Yep.
And it says, concerning the incidents of Baku, I'd like to explain myself. During the restart lap, I got surprised by Lewis and ran into the back of his car. So he's dropped the brake testing thing. Anyway, sorry, I'll get back to the quote. With hindsight, I don't believe he had any bad intentions. In the heat of the action, I then overreacted, and therefore I want to apologize to Lewis directly, as well as to all the people who were watching the race. I realized that I was not setting a good example. No shit. I had no intention at any time to put Lewis in danger, but I understand that I caused a dangerous situation. I believe that completely. Therefore, I would like to apologize to the FIA. I accept and respect the decisions that were taken at today's meeting in Paris, as well as the penalty imposed by the stewards in Baku. I love this sport, and I am determined to represent it in a way that can be an example for future generations.
Okay, so he basically said what I said he did last week.
He
said he overreacted.
Exactly.
He didn't mean to knock him,
nope.
But because he went up alongside him, he realizes he knocked him and that was his fault.
Oh, no. No, what he's saying is, I did it on purpose, and I'm really, really sorry. I just lost my crap.
I don't think he said. I think he said.
You're hearing whatever you want to hear.
I think he said, basically.
Bullshit.
I went alongside him because I overreacted, and I never meant to put him in that position, which means I never meant to hit him, but because of what I did, I hit him.
Okay.
I don't think he's running away from what he did. I just think he's saying exactly what I said last week, which is he did not go alongside him with the intention of ramming him.
All right. I know people actually listen to us, all right? So, listeners, tell us what you think genuinely. I'm going to put up a thread on our Facebook or something, or just put it on Twitter, whatever you want to do. Tell us whether or not you think this sentence, in the heat of the action, I then overreacted, means I overreacted by pulling up alongside someone.
Pass me the quote.
Or I overreacted by turning into a... I mean, turning...
Whoa, sorry. I'm editing you now.
Yep, edit that out or
Where is this quote you've got here? Okay, yes. He's basically... Look, I'm going to find the quote here.
It's at the first paragraph.
Oh, the first paragraph. Okay. In the heat of the moment of the actions, I overreacted, and therefore I want to apologize. In hindsight, I don't believe he had any bad intentions. Okay, cool. I had no intention at any time to put him in danger, which I think is the part where he's saying, I did not mean to hit him?
No, that's the part where he's saying, okay. I don't think so. Personally, I think he's like, I overreacted and I did something just dumb. Mm. I know it was dumb.
I think when he went alongside him, he was just going to wave at him. And when the car got a little bit to
it
the right...
It kind of looked like... I know what you mean. I think
he just kind of was like alongside him and he was pointing just a little bit wrong when he went to wave and then it knocked it again and it's just gone out of control. Which is his fault. I'm not saying it's not.
Yeah.
But I don't think any driver is dumb enough to risk damaging their own car in any heat of any moment. Like, I don't see someone
but
as smart as Vettel doing
it. It was so soft. He knew exactly how hard he hit the guy and it was barely...
Well, that's actually more
all.
Impressive then. So if that, he just knew, he's like, I'm going to hit him and it's going to scare him. But I'm not going to do any damage to my suspension.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's that skilled.
All right.
That he can lose his mind and still go, I'm just going to give you a tap at 200 and whatever kilometers an hour and it's fine.
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
I genuinely think that is Vettel. And I know Vettel from... He's the start of his career.
Mm.
I know how hot-headed he was back in the day.
Oh, we've definitely seen that even like before this incident this year. He's quite, you know, he's a heated driver.
Or last year when he told Charlie Whiting to go fuck himself or whatever it was. Like,
yeah, that was quite a tirade.
Yeah, that was a tirade. And he had to apologize officially. And now again, he's had to apologize officially.
Well, I mean,
and by the way, there was a meeting in Paris today. The FIA held a meeting to decide whether... Yep, no further action. So they're...
Before or after this apology?
Before the apology.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so I was thinking maybe he came out with his apology right before they had to make a decision, and he was hoping just kind of like, yeah, I did okay. Can we sweep it on the rug really quickly, please?
Yeah.
But it's all happened at the same... I think the FIA has made the right call of just going, yeah, look, we've dealt with it. Everyone get over it.
So do I. I
just turned your fader down like you were going to yell at me, and you're like,
yeah,
I know. Yeah, me too.
I tricked him. But yeah, no, I agree. Like, it, to be honest, I kind of enjoyed it. Like, I like NASCAR, so I like a bit of weirdness on the track.
I mean, a lot of drivers, current and ex, are all saying kind of, yeah, well, let's move on. Button basically said, look, yeah, I agree with the decisions. Let's move on. I think that's the right call. See what happens this weekend with that one. If there's any more tension, we'll see it on the track, hopefully.
All right, let us not mention it again.
All right. So in relation to the... No, I'm kidding. we'll move on to something totally different. Ron Dennis formally splits with McLaren, officially. He is out.
Yes.
He has been paid the final amount from his shares.
Yep.
He has no relation to McLaren anymore. So, of course, last year he was basically put on gardening leave, is what they called it. Like, officially they called it gardening leave.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah.
He was put on the back burner, asked to step down because of the whole negotiation of power where the investors were coming for McLaren. Just trying to get the total figure that he sold his final shares for. It's £275 million.
Whoa.
Just for his remaining shares. So he's already sold some shares in the past, and that's what remained as of this week. He's out of McLaren. It's probably a good time to jump out. I don't think those shares are going up anytime soon,
no,
at least for
I don't
the
think
near
so.
Future. So that's, I mean, good for him. He made that company, made the team what it is for a very, you know, large part of it.
Mm.
So I think it's a deserving, you know, finish that he can at least walk away with a very big paycheck.
Yeah.
And hopefully maybe stays in the sport in some capacity, even if it's just as a fan that we see at the tracks.
I don't know. And I was about to say, I don't see Ron Dennis retiring.
Mm. Like, what do you think he does with that money?
I don't know.
Buy Sauber or something?
I'm kind of scared.
Him and Bernie should get together. They got some money.
That's not terrifying at all.
It would be interesting.
It would be interesting, but no. Okay. Like, that's just, that's terrifying, Brayden.
Just putting it out there, maybe that should be my crazy prediction.
Oh, please don't come true. Please don't come true.
Yeah, well, I mean, what do you think? What do you see him doing? I mean, I think we're definitely at least going to see him now maybe take a step back and maybe just be a fan of the sport, or do you just see him becoming the recluse and continuing his gardening?
I don't even know if he'll be involved in F1 anymore. I'm not sure if that's... I don't know if he's looking for a new challenge. I really don't. But yeah, I think he'll be involved in something to do with motorsport.
Sure.
So we'll see.
There's a lot of talent. I mean, there's got to be other teams out there, other companies, other manufacturers that could at least use him as a guide, as a mentor, as some sort of member of their team.
No, of course.
Even if it's just a member of some board somewhere.
But I think everyone would be scared that 10 minutes later he'll have taken over your company.
Yeah, that there is a risk of that. I mean, he has a track record.
He's cutthroat. He's cutthroat. But then again, that's a good thing in this industry. So I want to see him like start an LMP2 team or something.
I'd love to see him at a job interview. It's like, hey, I'm the CEO of this company.
A job interview.
Yeah, I would love to see this job interview. Like, the CEO comes in like, hi, Ron, we're just interested in maybe having you on the team. And he's like, no, I'm the CEO now. Oh, okay. I'm the captain now. Like, that's the kind of cutthroat guy he has been. It's good to see him moving on from McLaren at a good time. For him anyway, not for McLaren.
It is good to see him moving on from McLaren. It is good to see him, and in all ways.
Yeah.
I think that McLaren needed invigoration. I think they needed a change. The fans were crying for a change.
Mm.
They were sick of the age of contemporary graphite with Ron Dennis, and they wanted something a bit more colourful.
Oh,
and
they're so happy with that orange car. Everyone's loving it.
Oh, I love it. It's good.
Yeah, it looks great.
And I wish it was more orange.
Mm. Looks great stationary.
Harsh, man. Yeah.
I'm going to move on straight on to a new story. Something maybe a little happier, Raj, please.
Okay.
Got any good news?
Yes, good news for next year concerning the French Grand Prix. Okay. So, Paul Ricard.
Yeah, I almost said Captain Ricard. The Paul Ricard. Continue.
Good contribution there, Braden. So, the Paul Ricard circuit could be removing the Mistral chicane from the Mistral straight for Formula One. And we talked about this last week. I don't know. We mentioned it anyway.
So, that's the long straight.
That super duper long straight.
Yeah.
One of the best in Europe. And it goes into a really cool turn one.
But they put a chicane in the middle of it.
But they put the chicane right in the middle of the straight. So the speeds by the braking zone would be way less. And therefore the passing would be way less. And so it kind of emerged last year that Formula One is going to be hosting a race there, obviously. But France's L'Equipe says the decision to add the chicane could now be up for review, and it would be more sensational if we arrived with more speed at the Seine corner, French driver Esteban Ocon says. But if the chicane stays, there is another opportunity for overtaking. So really, he's not really taking a position there, but I agree. There would be more... So
what's changed? Why are they deciding that they can review... now taking it out? Because they had to add it in to basically make it safer. Is it just
they
these
did.
New cars? Actually, they're different on it. Last year, we could potentially work without this?
Yeah, I think so. Because the last time they even considered revisiting Paul Ricard was at a time where the cars were a lot more unsafe.
Sure.
So I think they've just looked at the risk again and said, you know what? The crash structures are really, really strong now. I don't think it would be that risky for an F1 car to go...
Straight through
Mistral.
Do you think? I think Baku would be pretty upset with this. I mean, they get the title of longest straight.
That's true.
And then it gets taken off them a year later. I already saw, this is a side story, I guess, but yeah, about Baku and their long straight. They're not very happy about next year's change of calendar because, of course, Baku is being pushed to a totally different end of the season.
Yeah.
They're hoping that's just for the 1 year. So, I mean,
okay.
I don't like, I mean, after the race we just had, let's not piss off Baku. Give them whatever position they want
That's
in the
true.
Year. If they want the longest straight, they can have the longest straight. Just please give us another race next year that was as good as this one. Just not piss them off right now. If it was another boring race, I don't care, but I want to get them on our good side.
I'm more than willing for like the FIA to pay a driver on the side, under the table, in order for him to just cause a safety car at random moments.
Ooh,
yeah.
That's not very...
I am throwing my morals and like the entire moral compass is pointing south right now.
This man does not speak for Backmarker Podcast. This is the views entirely held by you personally.
Yes, yes.
But please make a good race.
Yes, whatever, but please make necessary. It a good race by whatever means necessary.
We're not suggesting anything. Raj is, I'm not, but whatever means necessary.
I mean, that suggestion would be utterly ridiculous, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
but it's never happened before. You know, just a suggestion.
All right, Raj, I've got another story. Speaking of runoff areas, I know that's not much of a segue, but we were speaking of runoff areas before, gravel and whatnot. Yeah. There's a little story here about Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. The runoff areas, of course, notable because they have that really nice blue. Actually, it's like a trademarked blue. I think it's called Yas Marina Blue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I heard them talking about that last year. It's a really nice sort of like
it
teal.
It looks a lot like Paul Ricard blue, by the way.
Well, they've now changed it to bright pink.
Oh, okay.
Abu
Dhabi
is now pink runoff areas, and the only real reason people can think right now is like, well, they want to be different to what was very similar to Paul Ricard's.
Okay, right.
Although the Yas Marina one was trademarked, the very Pantone hex color, I don't know how it works, but like that specific one, same as Cadbury chocolate purple or whatever, they had that right, but the Paul Ricard one was very similar. So now they've just gone with like an awesome bright pink. It's more rich than a Force India car, but it's pretty similar to that.
Yeah, I was about to say it'd be awesome if a Force India won in Abu Dhabi.
I think it'd be great if they ran off because you just lose them in the camouflage of
Oh, no, that would be really unsafe.
Yeah, a little bit. It's quite interesting. They've already actually basically laid out the color scheme. I love this article on WTF1. They've basically just said, looks pretty cool. There's actually no real reason for it, though. Like, they could have come out and said, like, we're really pro breast cancer support. Like, you're going to do it anyway. Quickly just talk to the Breast Cancer Foundation and be like, hey, do you mind if we, you know, say we're supporting you? And they're like, sure, of course, that's great. Please put a little ribbon on one side and you've got a, you know, sponsorship for charity. No, we're just doing it because we can. No reason given. Yeah, missed opportunity there, Abu Dhabi or Yas Marina Circuit.
That seems dumb.
Yeah, it looks cool.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll see.
No reason, but it looks cool.
I guess we'll see in
it'll be this
November?
Year. Yes, so it is going to happen. It's already been done. Like, they didn't even tell anyone it was happening. Someone just went out there with a bucket of paint.
Oh, okay.
And then they took a photo and shared it, so.
Right, right, right. So basically, there was a huge amount of graffiti all over the track, and they went,
yeah, we ran out of Yas Marina Blue. Get some more from the shop. We can't. We trademarked it. Ah, shit. Raj, you got another story for us?
Yeah. So Red Bull's fuel and lubricant supplier, ExxonMobil, has targeted an upgrade for the British Grand Prix.
How much effect does that have?
Well, in 2015, for example, Ferrari got a huge amount of upgrades from their fuel supplier.
Was it Shell back then as well? Shell now,
yes,
isn't it?
It was
so
Shell.
It's Shell then.
No, it was Shell back then.
Okay.
Shell says they got 0.5 of a second over the year.
Okay.
So it's a substantial amount.
Sure. And I know that Petronas is going to be pulling out of Mercedes sponsorship over the next few years, maybe not end of next year or rumors of. I think it's rumors of.
Yeah. There's actually quite a few signs that Mercedes might be in for some interesting times in the next few years.
So, and I know that they're saying Petronas has been a major contributor to their success with their oil supply. I think, maybe they are onto something. Hopefully this is good for Red Bull, though, about Exxon.
Yeah, hopefully it is. And to give you an idea of how much Petronas helps Mercedes, you might as well call it Team Petronas.
Mm.
It is, they give them so much money. They give them, and the research and development they put into those fuels and lubricants is ridiculous.
Mm.
They pay for the vast majority of research in that team. So really, when they lose Petronas sponsorship, upwards of 100 mil a year, by the way, they will be, I don't know how they're going to fill that gap.
Did you see that little video that was online with Jordan? He was talking about, like, I believe Mercedes is going to be leaving F1 within the next 2 or 3 years.
Yes, I saw that.
And they basically, he quoted, look, there's a lot of talk that Petronas is getting out with the end of the Malaysian Grand Prix. That's their home race, Petronas. They're a Malaysian company. They don't have a home race to showcase. It's no longer as big of a marketing opportunity without that. They've kind of maybe sensing the fact that they've achieved everything they can with a Formula One team. And maybe Mercedes is thinking the same thing. It's a scary thought when you think that the team that's dominated for so many years, they're up there with the contender for not only driver, but constructor this year so far, that not far away, they are looking at options of maybe jumping out.
Yeah.
And of course, there is a lot of interest from Chinese ownership and Chinese buyers.
So I've heard.
What would you want to, as a Chinese buyer, you've got a lot of money to invest in a sport like Formula One, a lot of interest in doing it from both a, you know, economic growth point of view, you know, you've got the research ability, plus you can own an F1 team, it's great marketing. Would you want to buy a Sauber or would you want to buy a Mercedes? You've got a lot of money. You may as well buy the Mercedes sort of team, right?
I mean, was that even a question?
Yeah, like, exactly. I mean, this is what Eddie Jordan was basically rumoring on. He doesn't have anything substantial, but he's just like, all the signs point to me saying this. And I heard Toto Wolff say something similar, like something along the lines of this week. It was like, stop talking fake news. You don't know anything yet.
Oh, hey, maybe Honda will buy Team Brackley back. And Team Brackley being where the factory is located in Britain.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. So it went Honda, Braun, Mercedes. What if it goes back to Honda and we see a works team?
Just for the record, everyone that's listening there, we are in the news section, but none of this is based on reality yet. We're just speculating entirely. Yeah.
Completely.
But they're exciting opportunities potentially in the works. What do you think this ExxonMobil thing... I've confused myself with all this speculation.
Keep going.
Advancements that are going to be happening around Silverstone for Red Bull, do you see them making a big difference?
If they get it right, definitely. Mm. Definitely. And it's a really safe upgrade as well. You know, it's not like an aero upgrade that can go horribly wrong or an engine upgrade.
If it goes horribly wrong,
to be really unreliable,
you change
or
it back.
Exactly.
You bring both with you.
Exactly.
And you quickly take it out of the car if in free practice one. If it doesn't work, you change it. So, it's a safer upgrade. Hopefully that does work for Red Bull because we are unashamedly Red Bull fans.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Is it my story?
Yep.
Did you see that the tyre options of Austria are kind of interesting? I don't normally care about tyre options. They're coming into a weekend. Like, you know, what teams and what drivers are taking what?
I haven't actually looked at them this week.
They're pretty varied this week for Austria. Notably, Hamilton is taking two yellows while Bottas is taking one. And, you know, they're both taking the same amount of ultrasoft. So that's sort of like they're splitting the difference a little bit between Mercedes. But Vettel and Raikkonen taking a lot less ultrasofts. So seven. That is the least of anyone. Tied for a couple of guys here with Grosjean on Magnussen, but you know, compare that to McLaren, compare that to Force India, they're all taking 10 ultrasofts. Red Bull's taking 9.
Yeah.
They're doing a whole different strategy, Ferrari.
Yeah, and I think that has to do with how well they heat their tyres up. But I don't know if that's a good decision. We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I think tyres are actually going to play a bit of a part this weekend.
Yeah,
because,
quite possibly.
It's very split. Red Bull are the only one that between both their drivers are doing the exact same thing.
That's
which
pretty
is like
much
2-2-9.
Standard for Red Bull.
They're very, they just split the difference. They're just like, you're getting the same thing.
Yeah.
While everyone else, that's not the correct term of splitting the difference.
No, nope, not at all.
They don't split the difference while everyone else does split the difference is what I'm trying to say. So that could be interesting come this weekend.
Yeah, no, I think it will have a big factor in the race, man. Mm. Yeah, definitely.
I like that Formula One now print these awesome, Pirelli give them to Formula One now, these awesome charts of like what everyone's bringing. So you can, as you watch every practice session, just cross them off and see where they're at by the end of the end of the race. Any more stories for us, Raj?
Yeah. Okay, so this story comes from James Allen. It's a story about Ferrari bringing an upgraded engine to the English Grand Prix.
I think Silverstone's going to be interesting this year.
Silverstone is going to be
that's where
really
changes.
Interesting this year. And I'm sure all the other teams are going to be bringing quite a few upgrades as well.
Yeah.
After Barcelona, it seems to be that next time in the season where there's a few upgrades coming out and this, that, and the other.
Mm.
Especially because all the teams pretty much are in England.
Yeah.
Even Mercedes.
Yeah, so you can bring you can bring the most stuff because it's the cheapest to transport there.
Exactly.
And you've got the... if you need to, you can just run over to the factory and pick something up.
Pretty much.
I forgot the screwdriver. That's all right. Just jump in the car.
Yep, exactly. Just jump in your Ford Pinto. You'll be there in like 3 minutes.
Just for the record, we went like almost 40 minutes, 30 to 40 minutes without an accent. And you just fat one in. Thank you very much.
I can't tell whether or not you're thanking me genuinely, Braden. I have a feeling there was some sarcasm there.
A little bit.
Not appreciated.
So yeah, Ferrari.
So the high-speed flowing circuit that is Silverstone gives Ferrari a really, really good chance this year, I think, at a really, really good result. And so bringing the kind of engine out there, it's not a coincidence. They're bringing it out there to make a stand, I think, on the championship. So let me have a look here. Both Ferraris will be on their third engine.
If everything goes to plan.
If everything goes to plan, which with Ferrari this year seems to.
Yeah, so far.
So far. It's a real power circuit, Silverstone, And efficient aerodynamics are also very, very important.
Mm.
So, yeah, I guess we'll see how it works and we'll see how that carries into the rest of the year. Especially, they'd want to get that engine upgrade out and working before Monza.
Yeah, of course. When was the last time we saw a Ferrari win
at Monza?
Or in Italy at all, like, you know?
God, I wouldn't know off the top of my head. But
there was a podium last year.
It's been a while.
There was a Vettel was on the podium last year.
Yeah, but I have no idea.
And him on the podium was one of the most amazing crowds I've ever seen, reactions. Monza's crowd with the big Ferrari flags.
Yeah,
and, you know, they're going mental when he's just up on the podium.
Yeah.
Imagine a red car in the top spot. It'd be amazing.
It would be amazing.
I mean, we saw some pretty awesome celebrations around Albert Park this year when it was the first time that Ferrari's been there at all, and that was Australia. Like, there's some Ferrari fans here, but nothing like Monza.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to get onto the track. I think it would be like being stampeded by a bunch of, like, rhino or whatever. It'd be freaking terrifying. Or being trapped under the Ferrari flag in the middle of the street.
Suffocating in red flags. Oh.
Help me. Get out of here, please. Oh, Lord.
Well, that's exciting. Hopefully they do get that done by Silverstone. And hopefully everyone else kind of gets some interesting stuff going by Silverstone.
Yeah. And let's see if this Honda Spec 3 actually does anything in terms of pushing McLaren further forward.
Even if it's just reliability, just something for them to hold on a little bit of hope.
Yeah. No. I don't care about reliability, honestly. If they were at least, you know,
first and then crashed, like first and broken down.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Performance first. And yeah, we need more performance from them. So
very true. I've got one last news story.
Yeah.
There is a new Formula One film coming out this year. So I don't know if you saw, there was a McLaren film that just came out, like a very small documentary about McLaren or Bruce McLaren.
Oh yeah, no, I do.
We should watch that.
Okay.
I don't know much about it other than it's meant to be quite cool. But this one here is a film about Williams. So the formation of Williams, it's sort of like a biopic, but I think it's a little less documentary sort of, you know, it is a documentary, but it's maybe a little bit more, you know, the drama around
fictionalized
I mean, it says it's a documentary, but maybe it's more of a biopic about Williams, the team. They're just celebrating their 40th anniversary this year, so this is kind of the year for them to celebrate that. They're putting out a film. I'm suggesting right here, the news is done on that one, but I'm suggesting right here, we need to have a Formula One like film marathon at some point this year, especially during maybe the off season or the mid-year break, when there's not that much news or no race reviews to go about. We can review this. We can review the McLaren movie. Hell, I want to go watch, like, you know, Senna again.
Yeah.
What's the Hunt Lauda film?
Rush.
Rush. I've seen that like 30 times, but we need to talk about these things because, I mean, it's awesome that these films are being made, documentary or otherwise, that are kind of bringing F1 to the masses.
For sure.
I know people that go, oh, Formula One, that's like that movie with the Ferrari guy and the, what's that? And I'm like, Rush? Oh, yeah, yeah, and they're really excited by that, but they've never watched a race. They loved the movie, they've never watched a race. I'm like, you should watch a race. If you liked that movie, it happens every weekend.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So, yeah, pretty cool that that's happening, and we're definitely going to be watching this at some point this year and talking about it, hopefully.
Yeah, okay, cool. No, that sounds good.
Do you have any more news stories?
Really quick. So Fernando Alonso has come out and he said he thinks McLaren will be way better suited to Spielberg. Spielberg being the mountain where this track is located. And he says,
His racing style or his car, you mean? Like, he's saying his racing style.
You know, the car.
Oh,
McLaren, the actual McLaren car should be better suited to Spielberg. Much, much shorter straights. They, you know,
constantly curving.
Power is not... is not a big factor here.
Sure.
Or at least peak power is not a big factor here. And we know they're not too bad on their tires. We know their chassis is really good. That's why he's saying, I really think we're going to be better suited to Spielberg. And he said, I really enjoyed my race in Baku. Our performance in the race not only shows that the foundations of our car package are sound, strong, but also that our operational team, our mechanics, engineers, and strategists are all racers, poised and waiting to take advantage of any situation. He does sound really pumped up, and I don't know if that's just some PR person in McLaren writing that out.
I think it's definitely someone in the PR department saying, look, whatever you do this week, just can you not just talk shit about like Honda for like one day?
Yeah.
Because that's the only news story that comes out after you come out and go, yeah, we're feeling really good, except Honda's a piece of shit. Like, he needs to say something different. So it's good that he's getting a little bit of positivity.
I think you're right.
About something.
Because I believe that Honda would have gone to McLaren and been really ticked off about it. They're saying, we're your engine partner. You can't be disowning us publicly like that. Especially when you're not even disowning us. You're just shit-talking us.
Yeah.
And Hasegawa-san would not have been pleased. And you can't imagine
the Honda guys in the factory are exactly rearing to go and help you when at any moment they could go, oh, we think we've got it, it's almost done. Oh, don't worry, they've gone to Mercedes. It's not going to help anyone out there engineer-wise who's working on that engine who are like, oh, I'm pretty close to a breakthrough. Oh, he's just come out and called us a piece of shit again. Ah, great. You know, it's not helping anyone really.
No.
I mean, it's pretty obvious. Alonso, you don't need to tell us there are issues. We can see. We are watching what's happening.
Yeah. And I think that's why this week he hasn't mentioned Honda at all, actually, in this entire interview.
He said the team and the car package. Just he's like very broad terms. So, yeah, much smarter from a PR point of view. And hopefully, as you said, and we've said a few times, that Honda upgrade this weekend does something.
He did say one thing.
What did he
Listen
do?
To this. We've also got a couple of useful steps coming on the car, including, hopefully, Honda's revised Spec 3 power unit, which I tried during Friday in Azerbaijan.
Ah, okay.
But like, the way it's formatted.
Did he have that pause in there?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So it's hesitantly positive.
Yes.
Sort of. Almost there. Almost. You almost had it, Alonso.
Hopefully.
It's a lot better than some of the brutal stuff so far this year. Anyway, I think that's all the news.
That's true.
You're going to give me a quick... Oh, shit. Okay. give me a second to prepare, and we'll do the quiz.
All right.
All right, Raj.
All right.
Quiz me. So, what's the topic? Austria.
Austria, I said, yes.
I'm worried.
So, this is going to be quick. I'm going to fly through these questions, all right? So you don't have long to answer each one.
That's right. I'm editing this later, so I'm going to edit all my thinking time.
Who has the most wins at Spielberg? Oh, no, sorry, not at Spielberg, but
in Austria.
At Austria as a constructor. So which constructors won the most?
Is it Mercedes?
No.
It's Ferrari.
No.
Wow.
I'm way off.
I would have thought it was Mercedes, but...
If it's not Mercedes or Ferrari, who would it be?
McLaren?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So that's going to really give you a zero for that one.
When did McLaren start racing at Austria? They've been there most of that time then, obviously.
Yeah. They started in the late 70s, McLaren, I believe. So
I would have at least just assumed with a race that's been going so long, it's one of the teams that have been around the very longest. But, you know,
I guess I'm a shit talker. They started earlier than that. But they've been there for pretty
most
much the entire
time.
Fair
enough. Okay.
Okay, so...
Zero from one.
Which driver has taken the most wins around Spielberg?
Can I have a hint? Is it a recent driver?
No.
Is it Schumacher?
No. Alain Prost.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have guessed that.
Well, you knew McLaren had won the most races. So...
And they did a lot around his era, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Zero from two.
That was McLaren's golden era, right? Back in the 80s. Turbo era, back when Honda engines worked. Boom. Their golden age. I missed those
But although
days.
In saying that Schumacher, if you guess Schumacher, no matter what the question is, who's taking the most wins at X track? Schumacher's a pretty safe bet most of the
time.
That's
true.
So
it is true.
I hedged my bets there.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
All right, question three. I've got to get one right.
You've got to get one right. All right.
Name the 12 children from Sound of... No. Helmut and...
Who was the main Nazi in...
Oh, whoa.
What?
We've gone 7 episodes without talking much about Nazis. Let's keep going.
It's a sound... Okay, fine. So what was the name of the circuit before the Red Bull Ring and before the A1 Ring?
Oh, I was about to say A1.
Yeah, I know.
It called the Circuit of Austria?
Pretty much.
Austrian circuit.
Österreich Ring, which means Austria Ring.
The ring.
The Austria circuit.
I'm going to say that's a mark.
Yeah, no, I'm going to give you that one, actually.
Yeah, good.
That's not bad. So, do you remember how long is this circuit? Two decimal places.
How long it's been around?
Kilometers.
Oh, we talked about that earlier. To two decimal places.
Actually, no, one. One's good enough.
I closed that tab on my computer. Was it 4.1? 4.2? 4.2.
Okay, yes. I'm going to give that to you.
I knew it was very low fours.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm 2 from 4.
2 of 4. Half marks.
Right.
Okay.
I'm passing so far.
You are. Last year, you know that Lewis Hamilton won the race. Verstappen was second.
Yep.
Raikkonen third. Who got pole?
Rosberg.
Negative. Lewis Hamilton.
That was all in the phrasing of the question. That's some bullshit. I would have guessed Hamilton if you didn't do that. You gave me the impression it was like, oh, okay, that's...
I hope you enjoyed that, guys.
Okay, next question. All right,
next question.
Say it normally.
Say it normally. All right, okay. Before Spielberg, where did they hold the Austrian Grand Prix?
Well, it was in Austria, obviously.
Yes, that is correct.
Was it Vienna, near Vienna somewhere?
I don't know where it was near. There's the name of the place, though.
The Austrian circuit.
If you don't know it, you're not going to know it.
No.
Okay, it was a place called Zeltweg Airport. It was literally held around an aerodrome called Zeltweg, much like Silverstone, actually, is an old aerodrome. Yeah. Actually, a lot of the early circuits were around aerodromes, especially because it was in the post-World War II world, and there was a bunch of freaking aerodromes.
Where's some road?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, that was a tough one. That was a tough one.
Oh God, okay. What am I at? I'm... Two
You're
from six now?
Two or six.
Oh, God. All right. Six. Recovery time. Give me an
Recovery
easy one.
Time. I'm trying to find one, man. I'm trying to find one. That's the problem about Austria is it hasn't been there for that long.
Yeah, fair enough.
So, yeah.
Hasn't been there for that long.
As in, hasn't the been there in the modern age. Sure. It hasn't been there for that long. Has an Australian ever won an Austrian Grand Prix? And if so, who?
Okay. I know Ricciardo hasn't.
Yeah,
it's not on. He's not done that one. I don't think Weber has. I don't think Weber did it. Even though Red Bull were dominating there for a little while, I don't think it was while. No, I don't think so.
Well, remember the track only came out in 2014.
Wasn't with them. Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna say yes, but it was a long time ago.
Yeah. So who would it be?
Was it Jones?
Boom!
It was Alan Jones?
Cracker,
yes,
right. Alan Jones.
Got it.
Nice.
There's actually not that many Australian
shadow.
Drivers there that I could guess. So I'm like, it's not those two.
It's either Brabham or Jones, right? They're pretty much the two.
I didn't think Australian it was Brabham drivers. Either.
Yeah, well, you were right.
Jones, sweet. All right, good. I've recovered one.
Go.
Three of
got
one three
question
of seven.
Left now.
Three of seven.
So you can finally get back to half marks.
All right, what's the last question? This is for the pass.
This is for the win. I mean, for the pass. For the pass. Okay, so what were the reasons, the main reason, actually, that the Austrian Grand Prix was taken away from Spielberg in the first place?
So what year was that taken away?
1987 or so.
Okay, so in 87 they got it taken off them. God, I don't know. Did they run out of money? Did the track run out of money? No.
Back then was... the kind of safety revolution in Formula One, right?
Oh, so they couldn't get it up to scratch.
Basically, they decided... because they didn't have enough money. The speeds are way too freaking high. The runoff's not good enough, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The catch fencing as well was getting really unpopular with the drivers.
Because it would suck to go in it.
It would really suck to go in it, and it could garrote you.
Yeah.
Like, literally garrote you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they took it away.
So not safe enough. Could I argue that... it wasn't safe enough and they didn't have the money to make it safer. Therefore, I'm right and I get a pass.
More half mark.
So I fail.
By half mark.
So I get 3.5 out of 8. Can I get one bonus? My question. I need something to pass. I can't leave on this. Give me one more question.
Okay.
To get back in this. Actually, wait. Is 4.5 out of 9? Yeah, that's a pass. No, it's not. Yes, it is. It's 50%.
Yes, it
point.
Is.
Okay. Maths.
All right. So you didn't pass maths. Class, did you? Okay, yep. No,
I got 3.5 out of 8 in my math class.
What would you say has actually changed the most about this track? Like,
these
what did they change
all right,
about
these
it?
I love how these questions are like when you get an essay question at uni. You're like,
yes,
you're like, there's no wrong answer if you can prove it, you're right.
Yes.
All right, what's changed the most?
And it is pretty...
all right, I got
there's
one.
There's no exact answer to it.
All right, the huge red bull in the middle of it. That's changed a lot.
Yes.
They put a massive ball in the middle of it and called it the Red Bull Ring. They didn't do that in 1963.
That's very true. But also, the track used to be a lot rounder.
Right, okay.
A lot rounder.
So the curves wouldn't come in and out. It would just be like a straight circle. Well, not straight, but...
You know how it's kind of... It has right angle turns?
Mm.
At the end of its kind of...
tooth
at the end
shape.
Of the tracks, you've got like right angle turns, sure, and sure, it's sure. really boxy.
Yeah.
Back in the day, they used to be massive high-speed loops coming back into the track itself.
So is this
and
one of the reasons they made
so
it safer?
Right, yeah, okay. It was ridiculously fast.
Because you don't brake as heavily.
Yep, exactly.
You kind of can swing the whole way around just by slowing down a little bit.
Yep.
Crazy.
And back in the day, it was even worse, of course, with those cars. Very little braking, very, very high speed, and uphill, downhill. If you go off, you could literally fly down a hill for another, 50 or 60 meters before you hit anything. Because they didn't have track barricades and stuff back then. So it was a really dangerous place to go to. And that's why they kind of squared off the corners and this, that, and the other, just to make it a bit less batshit crazy, which it kind of was back in the day.
I pass. I'm going to count that.
4.5 out of 9.
100% pass.
100% passed, yes.
I'm happy with that. So, Raj, I'm going to be watching some clips of how dangerous it was back in the day, or at least maybe a whole race. I don't know. Find a year where some crazy stuff happened, and then we'll compare it to this year and see how they compare with their changes, the rounded off corners and whatnot.
Yeah, cool. All right.
I think I'm excited for next week. We can hopefully talk about another race as exciting as Baku was. As always, you can follow us, Backmarker Podcast on Facebook, Backmarker Pod on Twitter. We're on iTunes. We're all on those good places. And our website is, of course,
backmarkerpodcast.com.
Thank you very much. Raj, I will see you next week, and we will talk about Austria.
For sure. See you then.